the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Colin Cowherd Podcast. I have been out a couple of days because of some physical limitations. I talked about that in my Instagram. These are my first thoughts on the Super Bowl. Aqib Talib in 5 minutes. Listen, there's been a lot of great athletes. There's a handful of great leaders. And when I watched that game Sunday, my takeaway, and then there's Tom Brady. And it is different. He's been so good on so many big stages that even other great players absorb his words differently. It's beyond just leadership. It's inspirational. Derek Jeter is a great leader. He didn't get 270 hitters to hit 340 in the playoffs. LeBron's a great leader. He never inspired Kyrie Irving to be a great defender. Yet Brady did. Take the Bucks' offensive line. Considered average before Tommy came to Tampa. Yet by the playoffs, it was a dominating front. And in the Super Bowl, allowed only 5 pressures against the Chiefs' defense. Conversely, Patrick Mahomes was pressured 38 times. Center Ryan Jensen played at a Pro Bowl level the entire playoffs. Guard Ali Marpet, athletic, but Pro Football Focus had him rated 12th best guard, rookie, 13th best guard a couple years later. After Quentin Nelson, you can argue he's the second best guard in the league now. Right tackle Tristan Wirfs, probably the best rookie in the draft. Just watch the offensive line. Watch how inspired they played, especially after dog-cussing by Brady on Thursday Night Football against the Bears. Leadership doesn't always equal inspiration. Leading men don't always translate to elevating all men. It does with Brady. Like, nobody thinks Bill Belichick was rooting for Tom. In fact, let's be honest. If Belichick could have chosen the quarterbacks Brady would have faced in the playoffs, he would have said, all right, let him face Breeze again, this time in New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, let him face Aaron Rodgers. Make sure it's cold, it's at Lambeau, and Aaron's having a great year. And then give him Mahomes. Yeah, Mahomes. Breeze, Rodgers, Mahomes. And Brady disposed of all of them. It's been said this week that what Brady did this year was similar to what LeBron has done in his career. LeBron goes to a new team, most important player. He's kind of the best player, GM, inspirational leader. It's true. Brady went to Tampa, most important player, sort of a GM recruiting players and leading them. But he did something beyond what LeBron's done. LeBron can only motivate players that he's on the floor with. Brady seemingly motivated guys he doesn't even play with. He was motivating defensive players and special teams and coaches. He yelled at a teammate who was crying in the locker room after the NFC Championship. Think about that. Every night of the Super Bowl, around 11 p.m., Brady was texting teammates, "We will win." His presence and confidence became a mandate that his teammates executed and honored. That's beyond leadership. That's the difference between being a talk show host, a good one, and being Oprah. The difference between being a top CEO and being Steve Jobs. That's the difference between being a leader and being Brady. It doesn't show up in a resume. It's not in a box score. The stuff you can't quantify. It's the stuff Sabermetrics doesn't understand. And folks, it's the stuff that wins Super Bowls. What you watched Sunday was even beyond John Elway's greatest moment. He couldn't win without Terrell Davis. It was beyond Peyton Manning in Denver, who needed a second year. To walk in during a pandemic, all new players, all new city, all new coaches, all new playbook, and slowly calibrate this football team in both sides, special teams, dominant units, suffocating the best offense the NFL has seen in probably a decade. That's not leadership. That's not just leadership. It's the next level, it's inspirational, and it's Brady. Aqib Talib is host of Catching Fades on The Volume. A 5-time Pro Bowler, won Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos, and one of my favorite guests on FS1. He's raw, he's authentic, he's real, and he is joining us now on our podcast at The Volume Sports. All right, Akib, let's start with this. It was the worst day of Patrick Mahomes' career. If I said to you, he's going to complete the lowest percentage, have the lowest passer rating, would you have been shocked, or did you see the pressure early in the game and realize he's going to struggle today?
I saw the pressure early in the game, and like everybody else, I thought it was just a matter of time before they figure it out and they start, keeping a tight end in or moving a pocket or somehow, some way they was going to figure it out. And Mahomes was going to be Mahomes. So I definitely didn't see the day coming. The day that he had, I definitely didn't see it coming, Colin. 2 weeks to prepare, they're not going to come out and play man coverage again. So you got to imagine what can stop us. Like, they're going to come play cover four and two man. They think Mahomes is hurt. He can't run like that, so you could play two man. So I thought they would have definitely had an answer for it, but I think it was the rush. It was the time that they didn't have an answer for.
When you watch Tampa's defense, you, of course, were on the no-fly zone. They are, conversely, led by their front seven. They're hyper-athletic at linebacker. JPP and Shaq Barrett are wildly underrated. Ndamukong Suh may be their third or fourth most valuable defensive line.
Right.
Have you ever played with a defensive line that disruptive?
Oh, hell yeah, I have. For the Broncos, our no-fly defense, man, we had started with Vaughn and D-Ware outside, and their backups was Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett. They was the backups on that team, man. And then inside, it was Wolf and Malik Jackson. So, and then hey, what's my dog's name? He's still in Denver right now. He's going to be hot at me. I don't remember his name. I meet too many people, though, Colin. D-tackle for the Broncos right now. He was one of the backups. He probably their best D-tackle right now. He was one of the backups, man. So we was deep. Our linebackers was deep. So I could say I have, man. I have. That was about as stacked as a defense that I ever played on.
Now, how does that affect you? How advantageous is that for you as a corner?
Well, it's everything to us. They make life easy on us, or they may either make life hard on your front seven, gonna make life hard on you as a DB, or they gonna make life easy for you. So if they got the ball coming out in 2.3 seconds and we could play a lot of two man, we could keep two high safeties because y'all can stop the run with six people. Like y'all don't even need an extra guy in the box to stop the run. So if you could stop the run like that with seven guys in the box, six guys in the box, then, man, that make our job a lot easier than it should be.
You've played with Brady. You've played against Brady. The remarkable thing to me, Akib, his ability not just to lead, but to inspire others. That offensive line was considered completely average a year ago. Now Ryan Jensen may be a top three center. Ali Marpet may be a top two guard. Tristan Wirfs could be rookie of the year right tackle. Maybe that just all happened simultaneously. But you've been with Tom. He does have an inspirational vibe to his personality, does he not? Where you almost feel it's a mandate. You've got to play good with Tom.
Man, it's a aura about him. You know what I'm saying? You hear about him. He's been around so long, everybody has heard about him, right? So then when you get in the building with him and you feel that aura, you just feel that vibe, that confidence that he brings. Then you see the way he work. It's like, man, you almost want to impress him.
Right.
It's that kind of effect. You want to impress him. So you're gonna stay extra. You're going to study harder. You're going to try to up your game to match his. Okay, nobody match his game, but you want it to, fit in the same bag, be in the same boat as his. So you want to impress him, man, and that's the respect that he got around the league, man. When you put him on your team, guys going to change. Guys going to work harder. I mean, I got to New England. I ain't watched no film, Colin. I was done with work. Once I'm off work, I'm off work. I'm clocking out. 4:30, what you mean? I'm done. I've been here all day, bro, since 8 o'clock. I got to New England. Him and Bill Belichick got the same effect. So you just want to impress him. I was out there by myself, so I got traded, so my family didn't go with me, right? So I got traded out there. I'm out there by myself. It's a little apartment. I got a one-bedroom apartment. I ain't do nothing but football out there, Colin. I wanted to impress Bill and Tom so bad. I watched so much Andre Johnson tape, and that's all I did was straight football, iPad football, eat, back to football, go to sleep, wake up ready to do it again. I had to be in the same boat as them guys.
And that's interesting, Aqib, because you were a top three corner in the league. You had relied on your talent, and it had paid off for you. The fact right. that you, as an elite player, thought, oh, I'm going to stay longer. Was there any resentment or bitterness not having much of a life outside of football?
Well, nah. September through January, all I'm doing is thinking football anyway, right?
So right.
It was kind of relieving for me not to have no distractions. I don't got no family. I don't got no kids to worry about. I could just FaceTime real quick, get right back to it. So it was what I needed at the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to lock it. I want to be the best. It's, at this point in my career, I'm at year five. I need to do something. I need to do, you know what I'm saying, where I'm going to go from here. Then it just so happened, I went to New England in this one-bedroom apartment trying to be like Bill and Tom, man. I got to lock in like they locked in. I just see how they work. They come in here looking tired. You look like you ain't slept all night last night. And I know what you was doing. You know what I'm saying? I know exactly what you was doing, Tom and Bill, because y'all got this idea, this plan for this upcoming week. Wednesdays, they look like they ain't slept at all. So I'm like, I got to look like that shit. I got to be on the same thing as them. If I want to win Super Bowls, if I want to be like those guys, I felt like that's what I had to do.
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free. I'm talking about NBA InPlay, absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app, and features all the fun of live betting. NBA InPlay turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA InPlay, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. I did. It's a breeze. And it doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA InPlay is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA InPlay today. Was New England and Brady, was that the best, Aqib Talib? Was that the best you ever were?
Nah. 2015, 2016, them 2 years right there. Broncos, period, I say. Broncos, Aqib Talib, that was the best one, because he just learned from Tom and Bill. He just learned how to lock in. He learned how to win. He learned how to take care of his body a little bit better. He just learned so much stuff from New England. Then I came over here. And then, you know, I had people looking up to me. Now, I'm the high-priced guy in here. And I was like, all right, what you going to do? If you're going to stay right there, you're going to decline, or you're going to keep going up. So I just took everything that I learned from New England, and I brought it to Denver with me. And I feel like I got even better, man, once I had competition. Guys like Chris Harris, he do that. He live in the iPad. So I'm like, okay, people who actually successful in the league, Peyton, Vaughn, they already doing this, right? So I'm like, all right, so now I got to keep on doing it. I got to surpass everybody on my team now. So it was friendly competition in Denver, man. We competed so hard, and I definitely say that was the best version of me right then.
You know, it's pretty interesting, Aqib. You always had the talent. I watched you play at Kansas. But the fact that you left New England and then you viewed yourself, hey, wait a minute. I'm a leader now, not just an athlete. And you know, was it a hard transition?
Nah, because I mean, I've always been a leader. If you can go back to my high school teams or them Kansas teams, right, and call any of them coaches and ask them who was the leaders on them teams. I'm always one of the leaders. I don't care who we with. I was in my neighborhood. I was one of the leaders in that motherfucker too, right? So I'm gonna be one of the leaders, period. But I think it was just the way I looked at football. Coming from New England, man, I just valued the game, I think, in a different way, man. It wasn't about just going to get interceptions. All I need is interceptions. I used to be like, man, as long as I'm in the game getting picks, that's all that matter, bro. I'm making play. They play me to get picks. I'm doing that. So it was more I can do. I can get the guys to vibe outside the locker room. I can create a DB night that we all going to go to. And if you miss, you got the ticket next week. Like, I can create stuff that's fun and create that family type of atmosphere, man. And that's what it was in New England. And I think that's why they're successful. So that's what we created in Denver. And that's why we were successful.
All right. I'm going to ask you a few NFL questions. Matt Stafford, who you've played against, is going to the Rams. I always hear how talented he is, Akib, but in 12 years, he's had four winning seasons. I'm not asking him to win Super Bowls, and I'm not asking him to beat Aaron Rodgers much. But hell, he couldn't beat the Bears and the Vikings. Is he just a talented guy? Does he go to the Rams and make them better? What do you think?
I think he is a talented guy. I think you, in a way, you put up those kind of numbers if you're not talented, right?
But right.
Some talents is throwing the ball far. Some talents is throwing the ball hard. Some talents is winning. You know what I'm saying? Some quarterbacks just know how to win games, right?
Right.
Without the big numbers or with the big numbers, they just know how to win games. And that's usually in their resume. If you look at the teams they played for, college, high school, they usually probably was winning there too, right? So some guys just don't win, man. And I don't know if it's more stuff that come to winning than talent. Like I said, it's camaraderie, it's leadership, it's having your confidence be contagious throughout the other guys, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of stuff that come with winning, man. So I don't know if the Rams got better with him. I don't know if the Rams, when I seen Matt Stafford going to the Rams, I didn't say, oh shit, they're going to the Super Bowl now. Like, I was like, Matt Stafford, it was more like that. Like, I don't know if he's better than JG. I mean, I don't know. With this offense, with Sean McVay's system, I don't know if Matt Stafford is going to be better than JG in that system.
Yeah, he's a pocket quarterback too, just like Goff. He's a pocket quarterback. That's
exactly
what he is.
Exactly. So, I don't know.
So, Carson Wentz is on the block, and so is Deshaun Watson. So, I want to start with Wentz. Mm-hmm. He was really talented early in his career. The Nick Foles situation, they draft Jalen Hurts, and it feels like to me he's lost confidence. As you know, as a pro athlete, that's a death sentence. You cannot lose confidence. I look at Wentz and his salary, if you ran an NFL team, do you see him as a reclamation project you'd want? What are your vibes on Carson Wentz?
Well, if I was, let's just say Washington or somebody like that, I probably wouldn't go in Wentz direction, because like you said, from the outside looking in, it looked like he lost confidence. And at that position, even at cornerback, it's hard to get that confidence back. But I would look at it like a project. I would look at it like, man, I can get somebody younger, or I can get somebody who hasn't lost confidence. He wouldn't be number one on my list. But if I was the Colts and Frank Wright, you know what I'm saying, and I really seen him, I was with him there when he was at his highest.
Right.
I feel like that's what he need. He need to get back around them guys when you was playing like that. However they communicated, however they got on his ass, however they patted him on his back, that's what he need, man. That's that familiarity that he need. And I think if he get back in that vibe, that he'll gain that confidence back and he'll get back to his normal self. So it's got a lot to do with the people you around too, man. So I think he get back around Frank Wright, man, he'll be all right. So if I was Frank Wright, I'd be like, I rock with him. I bring him in and start him. But other teams, I don't know if they can take that chance.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the life's about relationships, and Frank Reich had an unbelievable relationship with Wentz. And by the
way,
the minute Frank Reich left, Wentz has never been the same quarterback. So never been the same. Deshaun Watson, I've sided with him. I believe in him. He wants out, and I think he deserves to be out. Your takeaway on holding out and making those demands, your thoughts on that?
Man, I feel like we only get to be in, what year is this for Deshaun? Year four, maybe five, year four. You only get to be a year four, year five quarterback one time, man. We only get to do this thing one time, man. So just like they could switch up and somehow, some way, where somebody they traded, that draft pick turned into a top five, and oh, they get a chance to get this guy. Now, if they were like, I can change my mind, I want to go with this rookie and trade away this guy. Like, if the organization can do it, we our own brand. Us as our own brand, we can do it. If he got the opportunity to say, I don't want to play here, man. I'm not going to be myself in this situation. I'm not going to be Max Deshaun Jackson, I mean, Deshaun Watson in this situation. If he want to get out of that situation, and he can, sometimes you just can't get out of it, right? Sometimes it's like, I tried, I can't get out of it. But if you can get out of that situation and you can get it done, man, I'm power to him. I say get it done, man. It's your brand, it's your career. You only get to do it one time. You shouldn't have to do it in an uncomfortable place.
Did you ever feel trapped in your career?
Nah, that shit. Before I could feel trapped, they were sending me up out of town, Colin. Colin, I speak my mind. That's my biggest flaw. With my marriage, with my kids, in the NFL, that's my biggest flaw. Leib gonna say what the fuck on his mind. He ain't gonna bite his tongue. If it feel like something wrong, he gonna say that shit. And he gonna say it so everybody can hear it too. So before I was trapped, I was gone. But just talking a little bit too much, maybe.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean with your marriage? Sometimes your wife snips at you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm extra honest. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I say stuff and it's a fight for 2-3 days. You know what I'm saying? But then, you know me, I'm a great leader. So I always smooth it out. You know what I'm saying, Colin? I don't let it linger too long, man. I always got a joke up my sleeve or something to smooth it out. You know what I'm saying? But just, you know, talking too much and being too blunt, it definitely done made my wife get on my ass before.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We circle back to Brady. Brady reaming his teammates on Thursday night in the sidelines, reaming them, Akib. And you've gotten after a teammate or two in your life. That could have gone either way, Akib. But instead, they had 11 or 13 penalties that game. The next week, they had zero. When you were around Brady, he can bark. I've seen it. You know it. When Brady barks, is it different than other players doing it?
Well, it's like the captain of the ship. It's like the, you know what I'm saying, the pilot of the plane doing it. It's different when the steward is hollering at somebody. Now, if the captain come from that, you know what I'm saying, that cockpit, and he get on somebody, it's just a little bit different. He's higher up ranked. You know what I'm saying? He's a higher rank. So anytime, when I first got to the league, if Derrick Brooks was getting on somebody, it was like, oh, Bo getting on him, because his rank, you know what I'm saying? He Bo.
Yeah.
So when Payton get on somebody, it's just that rank, man. So when Tom got on somebody, it definitely was different just because who he was, man. He don't do it often, and when he do it, he's serious about it. So it definitely hit a little bit different just because who he was.
By the way, you did some analyst work for Fox, which is,
hell yeah,
it's really different, and it's hard. I mean, you're supposed to say something every 8 seconds. Tell me about your preparation, how you felt about it. You tell me. How did you feel?
I felt good. I wanted to enjoy it. I didn't know if I was going to like it or not. I never called a game in the booth, so I didn't know. So
yeah.
First and foremost, I enjoyed it, man. I had fun. I was on the edge of my seat. Both games I called was good-ass games. So it really made me be like a straight fan again, man. Just I'm researching the Detroit Lions and the Washington football team. Like, I never do no research on those teams ever unless I'm finna play them. So I actually had to study teams. I never study for real like that. And just both sides of the ball, study offense, study defense, you know what I'm saying? Because I got to know both sides. I can't just know about the offense now, you know what I'm saying? So I think, man, going in that booth and having to study and getting that rush again from a different perspective, it just made me the ultimate fan back again. It turned me back into the ultimate fan, Colin. So I love it, man. I love to return to that booth and do it again. I love to do it full time. And it just renewed that love for the game. I kind of was getting burnt out about football. Oh, I'm tired of studying and all this stuff. I'm tired of waking up. I'm tired, man. I'm just tired. That's why I retired. And you go in the booth, shit, it's probably double the studying. You know what I'm saying? It's double the study, and you don't kill your body out in this, that live, them live reps, because we live. Shit, there ain't no redos or nothing. It's just like the game. We live. So just that rush that I got from that, it was satisfying, man. I love every moment of it.
Well, I am so happy that you are part of the volume, your podcast, Catching Fades. You're as honest. You tell stories that a lot of guys won't. I want everybody to listen to Akib Talib, Catching Fades, his new podcast. You can follow us at The Volume Sports on Twitter, at The Volume Sports on Instagram. Rate, review, hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. You know I'm a huge fan. I love having you as part of the team. Go have some fun. Get along with your wife. That's the only advice I'm going to give you. I don't give
Colin,
advice.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you for having me be a part of this network too, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. Love it. Thanks, Akeem.